Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts, and we are going to continue in our message series on the message of the cross. Amen. It is a life-changing message, and there's so much to learn about the message of the cross. So before I begin, I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. And then we're going to have our opening song. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you'll just have your way during the show tonight, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that you'll give each person the eyes to see and the ears to hear what it is that you're trying to reveal to them, Father. Lord, give each listener a better understanding of the message of the cross, Lord God. Lord, I pray that at the end of the message, Lord God, Lord, I pray that if there's an unsaved person that's listening to this message, Lord God, Lord, right now as they're hearing it, it may be foolishness, but Lord, after they hear the message, they'll receive it with gladness, Lord God, and Lord, they'll want to know more about the message of the cross. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, Father. In your name, amen. And now here's our theme song, and I will be back to bring forth the word.
What I mean.
Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. This has been our key verse during this whole series. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, and also saying to us, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Up to this point in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we have been discussing, I know we did last week, the divided church. There is really one answer to a divided church, and that is the cross. I'm going to say that one more time. The answer to a divided church is the cross. So that is our focus tonight. Paul emphasizes in verse 17 that words of human wisdom are not the answer for a divided church. Why can't human wisdom solve the problems of a divided church? Because love among all persons is the only remedy for division, and the greatest demonstration of love ever witnessed on this earth is the cross of Christ. It is the cross that reveals the love of God. So let's get into the passage. Now remember that the Corinthians had written a letter to Paul for his help in bringing this divided church back together. In the first four chapters of this letter, Paul gives 11 answers to uniting a divided church. The first and foremost answer for any division is the cross. The message of the gospel is the cross of Christ. The content of preaching should revolve around the cross. other subjects of the Christian life are due to the fact that we have been reconciled to God and brought near to Him by the cross of Christ. The minister should never let the rituals of the church take the place of the cross in his ministry, no matter how important they may be. It's easy to let ritual ceremony and form replace the cross in the church. It's also much easier to administer rites and ceremonies than to spend hours in diligent study and to preach the cross to a selfish world. The demands upon a minister's time by other functions of the church are often so consuming that he or she finds himself slipping from his or her primary call to study, pray, and preach the gospel. The minister has to keep his or her priorities straight because no one else will do it for him or her. He or she must make the cross the primary subject of his or her life and preaching. We have to be careful with this because the cross can be emptied of its power. How can that be? Paul says, by preaching the gospel with words of human wisdom, preachers can become more concerned with eloquence than with the cross. This happens when they focus on flowery speech to impress their appearance, persuasive words, or maybe even too much charisma. The preacher can become more concerned about the content of his or her message and its points and arguments than he or she does about proclaiming the cross. He or she can get off on tangents, too many illustrations, too many jokes and funny stories, sharing his or her position on an issue, or allowing worldly readings to take the place of the cross. And let me tell you something, we have a lot of that within our churches today. And it's very sad to admit that. The man or woman who preaches the gospel with words of human wisdom makes the cross of Christ of no effect. He or she empties power. When the preacher stays from the cross, people leave the service and their attention is not upon the gospel and the cross. Their attention is on the preacher. A preacher should never set out to impress people with his or her style or delivery, fluency, charisma, ideas, or anything else. He or she should keep the focus on the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The world's wisdom includes many words, many ways to find the truth and meaning to life. But the word of the cross is the only way to the truth and meaning of life. I want to say that one more time. The word of the cross is the only way to the truth and meaning of life. And we take a look, and this verse isn't in my notes, but in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me." Jesus is the message of the cross. In contrast, the message of the cross is the power of God to those who are saved. No other message can reconcile man or woman to God. No other message can give men and women the perfect assurance of God's daily love and care and of living eternally with God. The preaching of the cross destroys the wisdom of men and women and makes foolish the wisdom of the world. This is a verse quoted from Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verse 14, where it says, "Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish." How does the cross destroy and make foolish the wisdom of men and women and their world? At least three ways. Number one, the cross exposes the fallacy of man's and women's reasoning and wisdom. Man and woman tries to conquer evil through science, technology, and the religion of human effort. He or she tries to use everything at his or her disposal to conquer nature, disease, suffering, corruption, and death. Man and woman want a life that is full and free, but he or she wants it on his or her own terms. He or she wants to do his own thing, to live as he or she wishes, to gain position and to gain recognition and fame, and to be comfortable. Man and woman want acceptance and recognition for his or her achievements. What the cross does is shatter this reasoning. It exposes the problem of sin. Man and woman is not willing to live as Christ said so. He or she put Christ to death. Number two, the cross exposes the fallacy of man's and woman's search for love, joy, peace, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Man and woman cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit on his or her own. But the cross gives this assurance of living eternally with God. The cross destroys the idea that the fullness of life comes from science, technology, education, even good works. Thirdly, the cross shows that the answer to man's and woman's problems is the way of sacrifice. No one can reach God and find truth or solve the world's problems without love and total sacrifice. That is what the cross is all about. Man and woman is not completely righteous or just, and is certainly not perfect. So there is no way that man or woman can be acceptable and be allowed to live in the presence of a perfect God. Very simply, we are not him. The only way we can ever become acceptable to God is that God will have to love us enough to provide a perfect sacrifice for us, and that is what he did through Jesus Christ. But the cross is not the way that men and women want to approach. They want to approach him on their own terms, but men and women fail. Every human effort other than the cross always has and always will fail. The cross destroys the wisdom of men and women in that it shows that the way to solve the problems of the world is the cross and nothing else. Just imagine what the world would be like if all men and women loved and sacrificed all they were, and had to solve the problems of the world that they loved and sacrificed just as Christ did. The cross is both the wisdom and the power to save those who believe. The cross is the wisdom of God. It's the way God chose to save the world. So man and woman is saved not by the wisdom of man or woman, but by the wisdom of God, which is the cross. It's the person who believes the preaching of the cross that is saved. The cross is the power of God to save those who believe. The cross answers man's and woman's search for God, but the world has made three mistakes in looking at the cross. Number one, the Jews or religionists of the world feel they are the chosen seed of God, that they reach God by having a godly heritage and by being religious and good enough to be acceptable to him. The emphasis of the religionist is his or her works and labor for God. The religionists think that it is man who prepares the way for the Messiah's salvation on earth instead of the Messiah who prepares the way for man to approach God. They think it is man who brings the glory of God and utopia to earth instead of the Messiah who ushers in the kingdom. The cross is bound to be a stumbling block to the religionists. The ideas of the cross are just foreign to a religionist. When the religionist looks at the cross, he or she is repulsed by the torture, the pain, the blood, agony, and the death. He or she doesn't see the glory and majesty, the triumph and victory he or she doesn't want to think about the negative factors of sin and death. Instead, he or she wants to focus on ritual, ceremony, religion, works, and benevolence. So he or she is not expected to give everything. The Greeks thought of God as being too far away and uninvolved in human affairs to feel. So to think of a God who becomes a man and felt the pains of death on a cross was foolishness to a Greek mind. It was nonsense. The Greeks also admired the wise man. This was a man who could speak persuasively with flowery speech about earthly affairs and human wisdom. So the preaching of the cross with its message seemed crude and uncultured. But then Paul mentions in verse 24 that the called of God find Christ. There are some who pay attention to God's call. They heed and obey. And when they do, two things happen. They discover that Jesus is the power of God. They discover that Jesus is the wisdom of God. They discover that Jesus delivers from sin and that God will guide and direct them through the trials of life day by day. The cross proves that God's way is wiser and stronger than man's way. In fact, the cross could save the whole world if all men and women would surrender themselves. Think what would really happen if only 1 million people within one nation bowed before the cross, giving all they were and had to Christ. What would happen if they really sacrificed themselves totally to Christ, as Christ did for them? What would happen to this show if every listener did the same? One thing is for sure, it would take care of any divisions within the church. That is the point that Paul was making in this portion of his letter. Turn to the cross. And you can turn to the cross tonight just by saying this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, we are out of time for tonight, and I pray that every listener has received more wisdom and understanding of the cross. And we're going to continue on with this message series next week. This is Brian Peckham from Whitman, Massachusetts, saying good night. And may God richly bless you. And we leave the show tonight with this song by the Newsboys, Hallelujah for the Cross. God bless. Hallelujah, on the cross.